Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 65th Berlin International Film Festival. I'm with Mitchell Lichtenstein, director of Angelica, screening here in the Panorama special section. So Mitchell, there are some recurring topics in your film, such as this of sexual repression and female sexuality. Is it something that concerns you?
I'm not even sure why, but it does. It seems like it does concern me. Maybe it's none of my business. I don't know. Because you're probably referring to my first movie, Teeth, which also has as a theme female sexual repression, and this Angelica does as well, from a very different time period, a very different society. Teeth is present day, but I don't know that I necessarily would have gone out of my way to do another movie with a similar theme, but I really loved Arthur Phillips' novel, and that was one of the themes of the novel. So I guess that did, well, that aspect drew me to the novel and to adapting it, and the fact that, also again, similarly to Teeth, Angelica is this sort of Victorian period novel, like a Henry James, Turn of the Screw, and then whereas in Henry James, there is a sexual subtext, but it is it's a subtext, and you need to read into it what he's really might be talking about, of what is going on with the character of that nanny. But in Angelica, that subtext is completely exposed, and it becomes it bursts out of the subtext. So that, to me, that was exciting, to take what is essentially a Victorian story, and then it goes off in this direction that you don't expect it. It's, you know, it's not your grandma's costume drama. You know, and Teeth too. It starts as a sort of, I don't know, coming of age story, or it might be one kind of movie, and then it takes a left turn into this in your face movie. So I guess that is also, aside from the themes, that style is attractive to me. So,
I haven't read Arthur Phillips' novel, so I don't know. What did you change, if you changed something in the adaptation?
The novel tells the story very differently. It's in a Rashomon style, so each chapter is the same story from a different character's point of view. With always the question is the mystery of what happened to Joseph, the husband, and from each point of view, what happened to him is different. And that's on one level. That's how the story is told, but it's actually, there's an overarching narrator who we learn at a certain point is the adult Angelica, who has been given this task by her psychiatrist to imagine what happened to her father. And so she's actually telling the story as if from each character's point of view. So there's that, and it's really fascinating in the novel to read it that way. And there is a whole, aspect of the book that, because the mystery ends differently in each chapter, the psychiatrist isn't satisfied with that, because he wants to know what actually happened. Mm-hmm. And she says, well, that's the difference between a female mind and a male mind, that the female mind can accept and embrace more than one truth, and they can all be true, but the male mind needs one. And I guess, having a male mind, I too needed one one answer. So I basically took just Constance's chapter and told the story mostly from her point of view. So.
Is it easier for you to adapt a story, as in this case, or to write your own things?
It's certainly easier. I mean, Arthur did all the heavy lifting because he created the characters and he created the story. I mean, I have to recreate the story and, you know, and in the sense, not recreate the characters, but I'm really constantly trimming and simplifying and making, you know, there's, but it's much easier than coming up with my own.
Are they leaving sometimes? Like,
yeah. Yeah. And then, but, you know, as I, you know, this was sort of a long process of writing and rewriting and rewriting and then filming and then editing and shape, you know, many different edits. And so in a way, unfairly to Arthur, I kind of forget what he came up with and what I came up with. So I take, you know, I take credit for everything. But no, it's very close in, you know, it's, I am, he made very full characters, and I took advantage of those. So.
Can we think about this film as a film that narrates two love stories?
Yes, it really is. There's, of course, the real love story of between Constance and her husband Joseph. It goes tragically wrong, and then sort of in the middle of that comes in Anne Montague, the spiritualist, who I think they really fall in love, and they wind up living together for, you know, and then I guess it's up for interpretation how they are living together. I have my ideas, but essentially they are a couple.
We were talking with Jenna that essentially you see the results of their living together, what they hand sort of takes over the role of the mom for Angelica. You can see it from some things, like I was mentioning the theater.
Yes.
She's acting in the theater, and you know that it must have come from Anne.
Yes. Yeah, I know that's, hopefully that becomes clear that their bond is that strong, you know. And it's, you know, it's a, I see it as a darkly happy ending. You know, they're all together, and that's lovely. But then, you know, you kind of feel what brought them together, and it's, you know, it's so. To me, that's a good thing that it's a queasily happy ending. So.
How did Jenna Malone join the film?
I asked her to please consider it, and and we, you know, we discussed. I think she was working in a tough job working in Hawaii, and and we Skyped and talked, and so,
was she the first choice for you?
I considered some British actresses for obvious reasons, but she was really the best choice. I mean, I don't know, she was I loved her thoughts on the character, and I don't know. I'm thrilled with the way it worked out. And
she was already British in the Victorian age before.
She was years ago. Yeah, she.
Lydia in Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, which I don't think I saw. I meant to kind
I'm
of
obsessed
see
with
it.
Period films, so.
Oh, really? Then you must know Luciana Arrighi's work well, who did our production design and did Remains of the Day. And
as I told her, like, Richard told me about the film for a month now, and I said, Richard, you know, period films, she's turning into
Caribbean. You might be a rarity, but...
But do you have... I was curious about, but it's weird, this curiosity, because I was thinking, since the film is about mostly Constance, why did you choose still to name it Angelica, in my opinion, except for, I don't know, the novel, if that was the title, but anyway, in my opinion, it was because she's like the point on which everything, they like all the energy, all the happenings are going towards her and through her, and I don't know, like a reference point on everything. But that was fine.
That is why. The novel is called Angelica. and then that is the main reason, and then also because I give the adult Angelica the last, you know, important emotional moment. So I want also to signal that how important that last, you know, transition and that those last moments are, because it's you know, it's her, she in a way has the last say. So
thank you, Mitchell, for the interview, for being on Fred, and this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 65th Berlin International Film Festival for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.